AJ with Socatis, and this is actually the first podcast for Socatis Changemakers. So you can disregard any kind of sound or any kind of coughs, snorts, giggles, right?
Like that.
And if it's too loud, we'll fix that in editing. But I'm so happy to have you guys join us. The first episode is one of my very favorite people. She's quickly become one of my very, very good friends, Medea Fouché. I'm so excited to have you here.
Hi, thank you for having me. I'm excited to be a part of this.
She's very nervous about talking into her microphone.
I was told that I speak too loud and I don't really know what to do with the situation because I'm a Latina and that's how we talk. So I'm kind of whispering and I'm hoping that it works.
I think you're doing okay, but
you see how tense I am.
She is very tense right now. I told her she could not be Latina for this episode.
And I said I would try my hardest. So that's, I am not moving, I'm not breathing, but I am going.
Okay, y'all. So Changemakers, what is it? So this is a podcast. This is really a chance to highlight good people doing good things. And the one person that I thought would be the most fantastic person to be the first episode was Medea, and she's doing some amazingly wonderful good things in Chicago and really beyond. And I thought having her here and sharing her story, what she's doing with One Heart, One Soul, would be great to just educate all of us about the work she's doing with homeless youth.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to just give it to you because you can do the intro so much
better. Oh, my. Okay. Yeah. So One Heart, One Soul is it's a community organization that started about 6 years ago. And the focus of the organization is to build bridges between and within communities to help raise awareness while eliminating misconceptions surrounding topics of homelessness. One of my greatest focuses is on youth homelessness. It's a topic that is just not really talked about. It's not very known, and there's just a lot of misconceptions that come with it. Youth, as it is, especially in the city of Chicago, are looked at in a very negative light. We don't know much of what is going on in people's lives, and my heart just is really out to and for people who are homeless in the homeless community. So it's, yeah, the whole purpose of the vision is just how can we come together to provide a voice and eliminate misconceptions that come with people who are homeless in the homeless community.
Yeah, so those misconceptions, like what do you think are the key, what misconceptions that people have about homelessness?
Yeah, so one of the things I realized is that when people think of a homeless person, they create this box that's filled with bullet points. And every homeless person pretty much fits that box with the bullet points. You smell, or you are dirty, or you're lazy, or you're on the corner begging for money, or you are uneducated, or it's just anything that has to do with the person that is completely defeated by life. And it's just, homelessness is always looked at as, yeah, someone who is like dirty or living on the street or begging for money or just lazy and unemployed. But the reality is that that's one small level of homelessness. People don't realize how much it takes or it goes into someone who has experienced being homeless or who is currently homeless. One quick story is that I met a man many years ago who was very, very memorable to me in his season of homelessness. His story was that his family had got caught in a house fire and he lost his wife and he lost his kids. And at that point, he lost hope. I mean, he was a doctor. He had a lot of money. He was well off. And I met him under the bridge on Laurel Wagga Drive. Wow. You lose your wife, you lose your kids, you lose hope.
Yeah.
And he had just settled to the fact that that's where he is. And he didn't want to associate with society, so that's where he is. I've met other youth, not even just youth, but people who have different situations. They either aged out of the foster care system because their parents were addicted to drugs and they couldn't take care of them. So they were put into the foster care system. And while in the system, they weren't really loved for. They were just used to collect the check. So they never learned life skills. And when they age out of the system, they kind of go back to being homeless and trying to figure out how to become self-sustainable and how to survive. So, I mean, there's a wide spectrum of why people are homeless, and I just think that it's often overlooked. because we don't want to face the problems of society.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, you and I, we had dinner tonight and we drove by some neighborhoods that have been regentrified and we just had this conversation. Yes. Right? So these neighborhoods were once of a certain, I guess, certain type of demographic, right?
Yes.
And now it's a new demographic, and some shelters have been closed because this new demographic doesn't want to have shelters, doesn't want this type of person, this type of crowd in their neighborhood. So, and that struck me, right? Because this is what we were going to talk about tonight, and it's like...
Yeah, we drove right past it. Right through it. Yeah.
The tour of Chicago, y'all. Madea is available.
I am available. I can be booked. Oh, let me not laugh, because the Latina's about to come out and the hands are going to start clapping, so let me tone it back.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, it's what we saw today, and originally the vision came to me, it was 6 years ago, I remember. My vision, it's faith-based. I operate through the faith in Christ. And the scripture that stood out to me was Acts 4:32, where it says, "And all believers were of one heart and one soul, believing that everything they possessed was not their own, but to give and to share to others." That last part I'm kind of just like quoting, not necessarily, you know, but for the most part, that's what it is. Yeah. So it's Acts 4:32. And I remember sitting in church and we had talked about... the book of Acts, which is one of my favorite books, and that scripture just stood out, and one heart, one soul. And then from there I was just thinking, like, what would it look like if churches got past denominations? Mm-hmm. What would it look like if communities got past statuses, or if people can get past situations? What would it look like if we can come together and realize that all our possessions are not our own, but to share and to give? And what greater population will that impact and help than the homeless community who has nothing?
Yeah.
That has always been embedded in my heart. So for me, it's always Acts 4:32, one heart, one soul, because it's about coming together and building bridges within communities and businesses to help provide a platform, to help donate items, to help people who are in need, to help resources. Like, it's an issue that has a lot that goes into it. Mm-hmm. So it's not just someone who is homeless because they're homeless. There's a lot of underlying issues that exist, but that aren't spoken about. And because there's so much division and segregation in the city, mm-hmm. it's hard to actually get out and come together. One of my biggest missions and goals was like, all right, how can we build bridges and erase these boundaries and just come together and just serve the homeless community?
Yeah, I think that's so good. I mean, for me, just like starting this whole new journey in Chicago, and I've always loved this city, but the more that I dig in and the more that I learn, it's, you know, there's not just two different Chicagos. There's so many different Chicagos.
There's several different Chicagos, yeah.
And I think a lot of people maybe associate, okay, Chicago, it's great food, great people.
Which it is.
It absolutely is. But then there's this other side where there's a lot of people that are hurting, that just don't have what they need.
Yeah.
And they've just maybe been shunned by society. And I think probably every big city has it, but I'm just using Chicago as a example because we're here.
Right.
And this is going to Yes. And this is quickly going to become home. So, yeah. And I think one thing that stood out with this whole conversation is that homelessness is not necessarily a choice, that there's other underlying circumstances. And so what do you mm-hmm. think we can do to mitigate those circumstances? Like, what do you think can be done?
Wow. Well, there's...
Now that I'm asking you to solve all those problems.
So one thing I would like to say is that one of the reasons why people don't get involved is because they don't know how to get involved.
So true.
They think or they believe that if they don't have the answer to the problem, then there's nothing they can do, which couldn't be far, far, far from the truth. And that's no one has one solution, because there are multiple layers that cause the topic or the issues of homelessness. I mean, there's addiction, drug addiction. There's broken families and broken homes. There's a lot. There's money issues. There's the fact that there are mothers and parents out here that are working two jobs to try to maintain a household, and they still can't afford it because the cost of living in a city is ridiculous.
Lunch today. I was telling Medea at dinner, lunch, y'all, was $20. I was like, $20? I don't even know.
Because she played too much. She played too much. She was out here kicking in the River North area when she should have been in Little Argyle. I was
in River North trying to be a big girl.
And then she met me, and I said, no, let's bring it back. $5, please. But there's really no one solution to the fact that homelessness exists. I think it's just a multifaceted issue, and it's trying to figure out how do we tiptoe or just approach each situation. I have more experience working with the youth, the homeless youth community. I've been working with youth who have experienced homelessness for about 6 years. And the stories that I hear are just, there's so many reasons as to why they're experiencing homelessness. One of the key points for me is that most of them are looking for employment opportunities. Okay. Most of them are looking for work. Do they have the life skills yeah. to keep a job? Yeah. Unfortunately, not necessarily. Do they have the experience to be hired? Not really. Do they have the resources to hop on the train and hop on a bus to get to work? Majority of the time they don't. Do they have the shoes and the clothes that's needed to be at the interview? 95% of the time they don't. So there's so much that goes into it. And when we think of youth that are homeless, I've had this conversation where people would be like, well, why can't they just get a job? Or, you know, it's their parents' fault. I'm not really one to, well, one, just placing judgments on a situation is not something I do. For me, I see a problem. Let's figure out a way to help that one person. If it's their parents' fault, then it's their parents' fault. But right now, we're working with youth who are homeless. How can we help him or her get to the next season of their life? How can we help them process this season that they're currently being faced with? Not to just jump around, but that's really how the ART program came about, is how can we help the youth process the season that they're in? Okay. How can they be exposed to something that's productive and mm-hmm. creative and freeing and can also be healing in a sense? And arts, for me, has been the solution. And for as long as I've been doing this, to the youth that I've had the honor to work with, it's also been a solution to them. Art is huge.
Yeah. No, and there's been, like, success stories, if you will, right? That kids that you've worked with, they've gone on in college.
Yes. Oh, my little cubby bears.
Yes. Yeah, share about that.
It's not something that just happened overnight, but I have three youth specifically that I have a really good relationship with. I love them dearly. I love them like my own. I mean, they call me mom, and I always Aww. Check in on them. I mean, they're my heart. But two of them, they just enrolled into college this semester, which is huge.
That's amazing.
Another one graduated from cosmetology school last year, and she's, nice. You know, furthering her career into that area. One of our youth, who is really, really talented in graphics and photography and design, like, thankfully has come on board to One Heart, One Soul, and we've had the opportunity to hire him as our graphic designer, as our photographer, as, you know, I mean, this is what he loves to do, and he's skilled to do it. So if we have the resources to do it, then we're gonna hire in-house. Like, if we need graphics, that's who I reach out to. If we need photography, that's who we reach out to. We not just reach out to, but we pay, we contract, we hire. And that pretty much, I mean, it helps further their career and the passion that they have for themselves. I mean, we're all called to create. Like, mm-hmm. The biggest thing that's been on my heart lately, morning devotions, as I said, I'm led by faith, is that we were created in the image of God. And if we're created in His image, then we're also called to create. And oftentimes we don't allow ourselves that space, nor do we have the ability to create, especially mm-hmm. if you're a youth who's homeless. The last thing you're thinking about is writing poetry or yeah. painting or processing your feelings. What you're thinking about is
survival.
How am I going to eat? Yeah. How am I going to get to school? Where am I going to get these gym shoes from? Like, what's on the plate today? What is going on?
Yeah.
So if we can be the pausing point for youth to create, which is what we're called to do, being creations of God, then why can't we do that more often? Why can't we provide a pausing space for the youth to just release their journey
yeah.
onto poetry, onto painting, onto acrylics, and just get it out there. And if we can get it out there to the public, then the public will know that the issue does exist.
Yeah.
They will know that there is true talent and true souls behind these arts being created. And the hope is that these pieces can be purchased and money goes back to the youth. There's a lot of hope that takes place
there
here.
There's a lot of hope. But it's true, like what you said, right? When hope is lost, I mean, as long as you have hope,
right?
There's hope. I mean, that's a little redundant. But
okay.
As long as you
that
have,
can be kind of a song, though. Like, as long as you got hope, there's hope.
I might start writing a song. no, but it's true. I mean, even on my own journey, I mean, there are moments where it gets so dark and you feel like it's just the end. But it's that one little thing that you want to hold on to, that little, you're grasping at straws sometimes. But it is hope. It is hope that keeps you going forward. And for both of us, it's our faith. It's
yes.
definitely our faith in Christ that is the hope that, okay, this is a season. And you've said that numerous times. It is a season for these kids. And I think that this program allows it to really be a season because you're educating these kids. You're showing them a better way. You're giving them hope.
At least we strive to.
Yeah.
That's at least our mission, our hope is to just provide a little bit of hope, is
yeah.
to be a little bit of sunlight in just these dark places. But, I mean, also we also learn so much from them. I also learn so much from them. And just having these relationships, I get to enter into another world, into another journey. There seems to be a lot of relatability between my upbringing and their upbringing, though not the same.
Yeah.
There's a lot that we can relate to. You know, we growing up in the city or growing up as minority kids or growing up in certain fashions and music and hip hop. And like, there's this common...
there's a connection.
There is. And again, it happens when we look past our circumstance. If we can look past our circumstance, you realize that there are people just like us.
Yeah. and that's key. That's something for me on my journey is I made that decision that I want to have relationships and my whole life now to look through a lens of faith and to look through a lens of grace.
I love that grace.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yes. we love us some grace over
yes,
here.
We need us some grace
yes,
over here. Girl, we're about to go to church.
I'm going to hit pause right now. We're going to church. I mean, I saw it when I was privileged that you asked me to come back in July and be part of one of the sessions. And just you think that you're going to serve and then you find yourself being served and you find yourself being filled up by these kids and their stories and there's so much there that they want to talk about and they want to share and it's amazing what you and your team are doing. It's so inspiring. So you mentioned artwork being sold and
yes.
So talk a little bit more about 924, y'all.
Hey.
September 24th.
924.
Yes. It's a good number. I feel good about this number.
You know something about that number? I'm loving it.
It's
924. So 924 is the art exhibit. So it's called Speak Outs and it's an art exhibit that's showcasing artwork created by youth in seasons of homelessness. So our sessions happen seasonally and
this is the summer session.
Right. So the summer session was about from 8 to 10 weeks.
Okay.
We traveled to different shelters, transitional living homes, and met with individual youth who were homeless or are currently homeless, and we brought art programs and conversation to them. We had leaders that would come out and they would just lead in conversation. What's going on socially? What's going on in the world of social justice or lack thereof? What's going on in your world? And at the end of each conversation, it would lead to creating. And the creations would be through acrylics, through writing, through sketches, whatever the artistic outlet may be. And the artwork that was created over the span of the 8 to 10 weeks is going to be at the art exhibit. So we have over 60 pieces of artwork that were created by homeless youth who reside in the city of Chicago. And the artwork will be available for sale. And
awesome.
I am super excited. It's going to be on Sunday, September 24th. At the Silver Room in Hyde Park,
which is pretty dope from what I hear.
Yeah, it's an amazing place. They're very community focused. They do a lot of work in the arts field and also community as well. It's going to be from 1 p.m. until 4 p.m. And
that's American time, y'all. Right?
Yes. Well, hoping, because again, Latina on board, so we'll see. Yeah, so it's from 1 p.m. until 4 p.m. It's going to be at the Silver Room. The artwork will be available for sale, and the money that is made through the sales goes back to the youth who created that art piece. One Heart, One Soul doesn't take or make any money off of the sale of the artwork. Our whole thing is, you know, you worked for this, so get what you paid. I mean, you know, you get out what you put in. At every session, I always start off, hey, this is what we're here to do. You get out what you put in. And for me, it's just, I mean, how much more, I guess, pride per se, yeah, would the youth get if they sell the pieces that they've created? Because, like, not only are they being vulnerable by opening their life and their experience to a bunch of strangers, yeah, but, like, the fact that somebody is willing to invest in them, yeah, by being like, yo, I connect with that art piece, I gotta have it. And they buy it, and now they're just making money off of it. Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, we all need money, don't we?
Well, it's like those life skills, right?
Yeah.
It's teaching them about, you know, putting in the work to create something and seeing it through to fruition. And if that fruition is just selling it, I mean, that's, you know, it's an accomplishment for them. And that could be the one thing that jumpstarts their drive to want more.
That's what it is. It's, yeah, it's the encouragement to just want more. If, yeah, you can create. And I always say that our stories are worth gold. Yes. Our journeys, our testimonies, our life experiences are worth gold.
Absolutely.
There's no better way to free yourself from the experience than to share it with someone else. Because it's in the sharing process that we realize that we're helping someone else be,
yes,
free.
Absolutely.
And that's the beauty of it. I mean, in one of the sessions we had, there was a beautiful young lady that wrote an amazing poem that will also be on display on 9/24
at the Silver Room in Hyde Park in the Shy.
There you go. But her piece was very, very powerful, and there was another young girl that was able to connect to with what she wrote. And this is something happened to her in her life, that same thing happened to another young girl, and they connected automatically. They looked at each other, and she said, wow, I didn't know that happened to you, that happened to me too.
Wow.
So it's no longer living in shame, no longer having to hide from something that's a negative experience in your life, because unfortunately it's happened to somebody else, but at the same time, you're not living this life by yourself.
Well, and that's what we're meant to live, is community, right?
Yes, community, so, yes.
Building community, yeah. You guys are doing amazing stuff. You guys, if you are on my Facebook or even on my Instagram, you can tell how much I love this female sitting in front of me.
And I love her.
Oh, she's my boo, y'all.
We in this for life. For life, boo, for life.
I can't get rid of her.
No, that's it. I am hanging on tight. You can't shake me off for nothing.
So I'm going to switch gears a little bit. And because I want people to know through this podcast, through people that I'm fortunate to know and hopefully give a platform to,
mm-hmm,
that it's just regular people, right?
Girl, yes. Yeah. Regular. Yes.
We are all out here trying to do life, and we're trying to do it right. But we're all regular people. We're working day jobs, and we're just, you know, following our purposes and dreams that we've been given. So I want people to know that you don't necessarily have to run a nonprofit, or you don't have to do these really grand gestures to affect change or to bring change. So, Miss Medea, talk about, I mean, you're a single mom.
Yes.
You are doing this. So people, if you don't think you have time.
Please don't come at me with I ain't got time.
Or the bandwidth.
I'm sorry. I have, yes, I am a single mother to a toddler. My son will be 2 at the end of September.
And y'all, that face, this kid is too cute.
He's beautiful. I look at him and I'm like, Papa, you are so lucky you're cute, because right now this tantrum is not going. But he's lucky he's cute. No, but yeah, I'm a single mother, and previously married, divorced. And that's a whole nother segment.
That's another podcast.
So let me tiptoe out of that one.
We'll revisit that.
There you go.
Yeah, boo.
But yeah, I helped start another nonprofit, and I help with managing it. It's called Monarch Thrift Shop. So that's pretty much like my day job. I help manage a thrift store that helps to reduce recidivism. It's a thrift store.
That's another podcast we have to talk
about. Yeah, yeah.
Good topic of discussion.
So just to share, like, of my schedule, to show that I'm such a regular person.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a single mother to a toddler who has a daytime job and also running, managing this organization, One Heart, One Soul,
yeah,
that I started 6 years ago. It doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen quickly.
I think that's what we all need to be reminded of, right? Like the sowing, the planting and the sowing.
It's all a process. And I think I've met several people, which I love meeting new people, and you know, they'll say, hey, so this is the first time that you're doing this, or this is the first year you're doing this, and I love it because they're learning about it. Yeah. But like inside I'm like, if only people knew what I had to do to start the organization, to start the process.
The blood, the sweat, and tears.
As I was telling you earlier during dinner, for me to start this, I was unemployed and then I was underemployed, and I was cleaning houses and washing people's floors and doing what I had to do, to get the vision off the ground. And it's something that you have to put into. But it doesn't happen overnight, and I'm an average person. I always say that. I'm an average person who just has a drive and has a vision and really is led by faith in God, because none of this, I mean, some days, I'm not going to lie, I'm not perfect. Some days I am just beyond exhausted, where I'm like, I am clocking it, like, don't text me, don't call me, don't write me, don't talk to me. I am dead tired.
Yeah.
And with reason.
Yeah.
And then there are other days where I'm like, wow, praise the Lord. And, you know, you're just like on fire and you just have all the energy to just do everything and anything. And then other days you don't. But it's about just getting it done. At the end of the day, it's about not having excuses and getting it done. If you have a vision, if you have a drive, if you have a purpose, which we all do, mm-hmm. The last thing you need is a book of excuses, because that will never get you to accomplish what God has called you to do. And that's the worst place to be.
Yeah. And I think when we're in our purpose, it's that energy that He gives us and He supplies.
Girl, yes.
Us. Yeah. And even on those hard days where you just want to like go to sleep and forget about responsibility and forget about your calling,
yeah,
you're still energized and you're just like, I can't give up. And
right.
I think, yeah, I think you're just amazing.
Thank you.
You really, really are. And I think anyone that you want to learn more about Miss Medea and One Heart, One Soul, I'm going to go ahead and put it in the episode details. So check it out. I will have her website there and
thank you.
Her Facebook and her Instagram, so you can connect with her, because she really is amazing. And this might be something that resonates with you. Homelessness and youth homelessness, it's a whole nother world, right?
It is when you
don't know about it. And I'm just learning all of this. It's like a whole new journey for me
and
too.
We need your help.
That's just what it is. Just show up in any little way, and it's not just monetary. It's time, it's talents, it's treasures, it's whatever you can give. It's however you can give of your time, your talents, and treasures.
Just show up.
Right?
We're grateful for the people that just show up, to be honest.
And y'all need to show up on 9/24/17,
yes,
Sunday, 1-4, Hyde Park, the Silver Room. It is going to be amazing. I, for one, am going to be excited because I get to be back in the Shy for this.
Yay!
And I'm just super excited to be a part of anything to do with this organization. So
forever grateful to you.
Oh,
thank you.
You're so sweet, Ma. Okay, guys, I think this is it for the first episode.
Yay!
This is crazy.
Another celebration.
This went by really quick.
I know.
This was amazing. I feel like we could just keep on.
That's the danger.
I know,
with you and I having a microphone,
girl,
is that we can just go on for days.
Girl, the Latinas over here, because I will claim some Latinas over here. Born and raised in Miami. I think I'm Cuban and Brazilian. We're going to wrap it up here for sure this time. And I think you all are going to definitely be hearing from Ms. Medea Fouché again here on Socati's Changemakers. Thanks for hanging out. I hope you guys were inspired. I hope you are starting to think about what kind of change and good you can bring about in your own community, because really each and every one of us, we have the ability to do so, and we each have our own talents to share. So think about it, and until next time on Socati's Changemakers, this is KJ. Ciao.